Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/Radio 1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Good actual afternoon. This is Mills.
Core, we're halfway through the week already. Hi, chappers.
Hello.
You right?
Smells like a squash court in here. Is that you?
In what way?
What
do they smell like?
Kind of a bit sporty and a bit sweaty.
Might be.
Oh, right.
Never can tell.
No.
No, I'm quite fresh.
You normally do smell fresh. I wasn't suggesting it was anybody in here at the moment.
Is it a swimming pool kind of smell?
No.
All right.
That's
I've never been on a squash court in my life.
Ever? There's nobody in here.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
Well, thanks for coming in. And within 30 seconds,
making everybody paranoid.
Really paranoid about our personal hygiene. Thanks for that. It's a very hot day today, yeah?
Yeah.
Coming up, we've got Jamie T, I've got Saturdays and Block Party. And keep listening for some very, very exciting news about Scott Mills the musical.
Scott Mills Radio.
BBC Radio 1.
Okay, musical news coming up. And if you missed it yesterday, more on Boat Crash Radio, which was the Hoff yesterday when he crashed a boat live on Radio 1.
Oh, do you have an update on that?
Oh, yeah. Loads has happened since then.
Really?
Oh, God. You don't tend to not notice when the Hoff is in Great Britain, do you?
Well, you certainly don't.
No, I really don't. I'm spending my whole life with him, but it's fine. It's
so
great
fun.
So
did you go and see him on the boat after yesterday?
No, I had a day off yesterday.
A day off. Did you need that?
A day off today. Oh, I needed that. Right. But it's great fun, but it's just a bit tiring.
Is it full on?
Oh, yeah.
Are you seeing him tonight?
I don't know yet. I'm waiting for a call.
Right.
But we're going to speak to him soon.
Okay.
Something else that's keeping me awake, apart from him.
Yeah?
There's really...
Apart from him? What?
No, we're not sleeping together.
I was going to say, does he snore or something?
No, I just worry.
Does he take all the duvet?
I just worry. He's not right there with me.
Okay.
There's an annoying beep in my house. Now, you know what I'm like? I'm the kind of person that if a light bulb needs replacing, it takes a while. Because I just don't get round to it. Now, this beep is... It started going at about 11 o'clock last night.
Okay.
And I was there until at least maybe half 12 working out or trying to work out what it was. I haven't got anywhere.
Right.
Because when I went into every single room, because I thought, okay, it's coming from upstairs. Went upstairs, went in my flatmate's room, went in my room, spare room, landing. And it's so infrequent, this beep...
Mm-hmm.
That you can't just kind of stand there and wait for it. It's not like beep, beep, beep. It is that noise.
Yeah.
But it's at random. And I'm going from room to room going, okay, I'm warm. Okay, I'm cold again. Because it gets louder and, and then it's really muffled. I'm like, okay, it's not in this room.
Were you talking to yourself whilst you're doing it?
Yeah. I do sometimes talk to myself.
It's not your alarm clock.
Everyone talks to themselves, don't they? In those situations when you're a bit stressed, do you not talk to yourself?
No.
I do.
Have you left your alarm clock on snooze?
No. Right. If you were me, would you not be going, okay, it's not in this room? That's what I do to myself. Okay.
If I were you, there were a lot of other questions I'd ask myself first.
Anyway, it's doing my head in. If anyone knows what it might be, then could you text in, please? Because it's going to happen again tonight. It was still going this morning.
Couldn't you have Chipmunk's brother to come out and fix whatever it is?
He only does some cable and satellite repair.
I thought he was your odd job man.
No, he's the man that fixes a digital TV. Right. He doesn't fix beeps.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Right, Paul and Dumfries have been on saying, personally, I'd say it's the cooker timer counter thing. No, it's not, because yesterday that went off as well at lunchtime, and I know how to stop that. I've worked that out.
Why did that go off?
I don't know, it just goes off sometimes at random.
Because you very rarely use it.
No, I don't. I know I'd never use it, but right. It still goes off sometimes, and I just press all the buttons on the front of the oven until it stops.
When you say the cooker timer, do you in fact mean your microwave?
No, it is the actual oven.
All right, okay.
But what you do, if you press all the buttons on the panel, eventually one of them stops it. I don't know which one.
Oh, well, I'll remember that next time I'm round yours and the cooker starts bleeping.
Yeah. Hello?
Hello, Scott.
Hello, who's that?
It's Richard.
Hi, Rich. What's happening?
It's your smoke alarm, mate.
How do you know that?
Because I do it all the time. I'm general maintenance, so I get called out to people's houses to sort out problems, and 9 times out of 10, random beeps are your smoke alarms.
Right.
Your battery needs changing.
They're your smoke alarms. Could you come round?
I could do it, but it'll cost you.
Right. Right, what's the call-out charge?
Well, I'm in Luton, so for me to come to London, usually, locally, it's £45. But Jeez. Coming to London, it's going to be a bit more.
Plus
the cost of the 9-volt battery.
Yeah. I'm not being funny. £45 to take the battery out of a smoke alarm to stop it from beeping?
Well, that's the way things go these days.
I would. I'd bump it up if I was you, because I reckon you could fleece him on this.
Can I not just take a bat to it?
You could do if you want, but then if you're out,
I haven't got a bat,
you're going to burn down with it.
Oh, that's true, yeah, I don't want
to
burn.
If you are stupid enough not to be able to change a battery, you kind of deserve to be charged £45.
Yeah, but exactly.
Thank you, yeah.
No, well, you're the kind of person that sees people like me coming. You are. That's what you are. Yeah, you. Also, it's going to be one of those batteries that you don't have lying around, isn't it? Because you know in your kitchen drawer, you've always got, like, the double A's or whatever.
No, it's a 9-volt with the... You clip it on the top.
Oh, one of those annoying block things?
Yeah, that's the one.
Who has them lying around? Nobody.
B&Q?
Yeah, I was going to say B&Q, but I stopped myself.
Yeah. Home base?
They're not 45 quid, eh?
Other generic DIY stores available.
Yeah, all right. Well, thanks for the offer, but it's all fine. Love you.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
So I've got this annoying beep in my house. This is just every now and again, quite infrequent. Beep. Everybody, and I mean everybody, on the text is saying it's my smoke alarm, which needs the battery replacing. However, Scott from Loughborough has a different suggestion. He thinks maybe the Hoff or somebody else has infiltrated my house and is playing a joke. Someone may have placed an annoyatron in my flat. Do you know what that is?
No, I've no idea what an annoyatron is.
It generates a short but very annoying, hence the name, beep every few minutes.
Right.
I've just got the, it's just one of them gadget sites. Your unsuspecting target will have a hard time timing the location of the sound because the beeps will vary in intervals ranging from 2 to 8 minutes.
Oh,
that's it!
God.
The 2 kHz sound is generally annoying enough, but if you really, really want to aggravate somebody, select the 12 kHz sound.
What, so you don't know where it is or how often it makes a noise?
No, or it says 3 simple steps. All you have to do is you can put it under desks or whatever, you know, against the wall. Turn it on, hide it, ha ha ha.
Oh, that would drive me around the bend.
Oh, my God. Maybe it's one of those. It says, select a suitable hiding location for the annoyatron, and it will do its part to drive your co-workers or friends slowly mad with its short and seemingly random beeps.
I would love it if the Hoff has done that to you.
It's possible.
If it is your smoke alarm, by the way, you don't have to spend £45 getting that bloke from Luton to do it for you. Apparently, the fireman will do it for free. But you wouldn't want a load of firemen coming around your house, would
you? Not at all. That would hate that.
Yeah.
So firemen can do it for free, you say?
So firemen...
You just call up the fire service?
Now, hang on a minute. I don't know about... This is only what people are saying on the text.
Right?
I haven't checked this out officially.
And obviously, it wouldn't be an emergency.
It wouldn't be emergency. But there is a suggestion from several people that that you could get some firemen to come round and change it for free.
Really?
Mm.
And when do they come round? Can they specify a time?
I presume you can specify a time for them.
Brilliant. I mean, yeah, that's awful.
I'd have thought the two of you could sort it out between yourselves. Surely it would only take one fireman.
See, this is what I love about our listeners. You put something out there that's annoying you, like a beep, and they come up with answers and suggestions. I love it.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Simon, driving to work in Dorset, says in Dorset you get a whole fire engine full of firemen.
Do you?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay, well, that's something to think
about. Have you ever had as many firemen texting you in one go?
No.
Never. It's truly astonishing.
There is a lot of firemen texting now.
Yeah.
Which I like. I like it that firemen listen. Now, we're going to try and get hold of the Hoff quite soon. He was on the show yesterday and it went wrong. I thought he was hamming this up, right? I thought he was, you know, like he does. But it turns out, when the screaming starts on this clip you're about to hear, that something did actually go very, very wrong. This is the entirety of the Hoff's appearance on yesterday's show. Hello, David Hasselhoff.
You're okay. Hey, what's going on?
How are you?
I'm doing great. We're going to the Marsh Lock here in Henley. It's our first, actually our second lock.
Okay, good. So explain what's going on, David.
We are, we're about to hit the wall. Go back, right back. Reverse, Joe. Reverse. We're reversing our longboat. Okay, now go forward. So and we just hit the wall.
You're on a boat in the Thames right now.
Stop. Hear a train.
I thought the rivers around Henley were quite quiet and reserved. And
what happened? Are you kidding me?
What is happening there? Okay, we'll come back to you soon. Thank you, David. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Something quite bad did happen. The boat... Don't laugh. The boat did crash. into a wall. Anyway, we'll try and get hold of the Hoff. I think he's going to be deeply apologetic about what happened on the radio yesterday, but he will be on a boat again, just to warn you.
Lots of people pointed out as well that I think he meant he was on a narrow boat, didn't he? Not a long boat.
Doesn't a long boat
make him a Viking?
Well, I went on a...
having said that, I won't put anything past him.
I went on a narrow boat with him yesterday, and it was one of a traditional, you know, narrow boat barge. But then he was pointing at what looked like a kind of speedboat in the distance going, that's a boulder that's narrow. I want to go on that one.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
I've got this annoying beeping sound in my house if you just tuned in. It's just at random. It's not... doesn't follow any kind of form. Okay, I'm going to check my smoke alarm tonight and once I find out where it is. And then I'll get back to you tomorrow. If not, then I will call the fire service because apparently at least 3 or 4 firemen come round and fix it for you, which is brilliant. What
a
great service.
Well, it needs doing, doesn't it? It needs fixing.
It needs a service, so obviously. And if it's not... if I get the firemen round and it's not the smoke alarm, how stupid am I going to look?
Well, you'll have to make it up to them somehow.
Make them a cup of tea and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's 4:45. And now it's time for Becky's Classified. She might be here, but she's left some bargains.
Glass of wine if they're off duty.
Yeah, of course. No, she ain't here this week. So, bargains and some love to be had as well. We'll start off with one of those missed connections. You may have been spotted by someone that quite fancied you.
You passed me outside Finchley Central Station. You, bit tall, long brown hair tied back, very cute face. I think you had a black top and dark jeans. Me, same height, black pants, light blue shirt, big chest, and a shoulder bag. Just want to say that I'm kicking myself because I didn't stop and say hi, especially when we made eye contact. I'm definitely going to write a song about you, and if I see you again, I'll introduce myself and let you hear the song.
Okay.
She must have noticed him if he only had his pants on.
I think he meant trousers.
Do you think?
Maybe he's an American. Also, get him. Big chest. I work out, yeah.
Whatever. Or he's got boy boobs.
Or he's got man boobs. Also, I think it's freaky enough if you're going out with somebody and they write a song about you. If you don't know them at all, if they've just walked past you once at Finchley Central, then you write a song about them, that's freaky.
Yeah.
It's weird writing a song about someone that you don't know. Unless it's for a musical.
And then it's perfectly
fine. That's
fine. That's in no way strange at all.
But imagine, right, if this hadn't been written for our musical... and someone wrote it for you and it wasn't for that at all. You don't know this person.
You're so self-conscious when you walk down the street. You're like a robot dancing to electro beat. You just won't wear it if it ain't on trend. And by some distance, you're my most fashionable friend. Chappers, you're mine. Favorite fashion victim, you're my favorite chap.
Have you not heard this before?
No.
All right, I think we played it while you were off. This is another song we got sent in for the musical.
To be honest, that makes me feel uncomfortable, even if it is written for a musical.
We think it's sent in by the Pet Shop Boys under a different name.
Why?
It's possible, I don't know.
It isn't, is it, really?
I don't know.
It isn't possible at all.
Anyway, got a classified now. Here's a bargain.
Roll of Odeon Cinema carpet, £5.
Wow.
A roll of used, but good, carpet. Genuine Odeon Cinema. Approximately 10 foot by 10 foot. Maybe more or a little less. It's heavy and is lots of carpet. Rare opportunity. From Odeon Ipswich, when it sadly closed. Collection only... or can deliver for agreed amount.
See, I think I'd quite like that.
Yeah, but imagine what's been spilt on that over the years.
That's the thing about those cinema carpets. They're so patterned that anything could have been spilt on them and you would never know.
Yeah,
which is very
awful.
Handy
just
for my house.
Think of what's in there.
Yeah, but you know those carpets in cinemas? You can put red wine on them, you can stamp popcorn into them, you can spill Coca-Cola all over them. It's all still fine. They look horrendous, but they cover every single stain. And that is what I need for my house.
Is it?
Yeah. There's all sorts of stains going on in my house. People are always spilling things on the carpet. So I think that would be good.
Maybe the fireman could lay the carpet for you at the same time as sorting out your smoke alarm.
For a small charge, I'd imagine I would do that. But, No, I might get some of that. Mm. I quite like the idea of every time you go into your lounge, it's like going into, like, the cinema. Really good. Next.
Pink mirror with music. Item was bought in Barcelona. Don't worry, it doesn't play Spanish music. Smiley face. Item can be picked up in Telford.
Right. These are all genuine bargains off the internet.
It's not quite as exotic, is it?
What? Telford. What you said about Telford?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying it's not as...
It's Britain's most exciting new city, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Who wants a mirror that plays music? Really not. You up for that?
No, definitely not.
Next. Oh, this is another misconnection.
Studying student equations on the train to Temple Meads. Hi, I'm looking for a lad that was studying loads of equations on the train from Brighton to Bristol Temple Meads on Sunday. You were using your Mac and also watching F1 racing on the internet. We were ex-kanging lots of smiles, but I didn't give you my number when you got off on your bike. If anyone knows a lad, 20-ish, about 5'10", black hair, lovely smile, Mac with a 3 internet adapter, rides a bike, likes Formula 1, and is possibly in Bristol Uni doing an exam with long equations, get him to reply, please.
Oh, that's quite sweet.
That would freak me out if she was paying so much attention that she knew my internet
That's
adapter.
That's a lot of detail there.
Isn't
a 3
really?
Internet adapter.
I don't actually know what one of those is, but...
I do.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. It's so you can go online on the train.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Next. Free International Ketchup Packet Collection.
Oh, God.
This is a collection of ketchup packets from around the world. Approximately 25 countries are represented here, including Japan, Finland, Estonia, Greenland, Brazil, and Portugal. None of the packets have been opened, and they are labelled with their home country. Collection comes in decorative box with ducks on it.
Now, this is such a boy thing to do, isn't it? A collection of ketchup packets from around the world. Thing is, once you start a collection like that, it's hard to stop. And people will be...
Why?
You know,
have you done it?
No. Well, I'll tell you in a minute.
Oh, God.
No, it's just like people find out that you're doing it, and then they go on holiday and they bring you back a ketchup packet, and before you know, you've got loads and you've got a collection on your hands.
Well, what have you done then?
Well, there was a stage where I went through... when I went to other countries, picking up just general household goods, you know, groceries, like, for instance, toothpaste, shampoo, just because it had foreign writing on it.
Right.
Is that weird?
Yeah.
I what built up quite a collection.
What have you done with that? What have you done with that collection?
There was a stage when pretty much everything in my bathroom did have Arabic on it.
Right.
But they were, you know, normal brands.
Did you use the products?
Yes.
Oh, what, and then just threw them out?
Yeah,
well, that's also not as much a collection then, is it?
I was quite proud of my bottle of Highland Spring with Arabic on for a while. Is that weird?
Yeah, very. Okay. The one that doesn't speak, I had a friend who collected novelty spoons. That is worse, but it meant that she was very easy to buy a present for whenever the one that doesn't speak went on holiday.
See?
Just came back with a novelty spoon for wherever he'd be.
You'd never be stuck for a present idea, would you?
Do you want to start a novelty spoon collection?
No.
Then?
I've got over that period in my life now where I needed everything to be in foreign. But
oh, right, good. Maybe you can start collecting tomato sauce packets.
But it's the same kind of thing as when I go into... Do you know I go into supermarkets abroad and I buy things because they have a slightly different version, i.e. fabric conditioner? I'll buy one that you can't get over here. Anyway, I think I'm revealing a lot. So next...
Too much.
Cute stool sample nurse.
Ah.
On April the 8th, I came out from the bathroom in the hospital and you were sitting there, half hidden by the frosted sliding glass window. Sandy blonde hair, purple scrubs, sitting at the desk with that cute smile that some orthodontists must have been very proud of. I handed you my sample cautiously. You gave me a cute grin and asked the silly phrase, "Did everything come out okay?" To which I stuttered out a broken, "Yes." I have been back, but have not seen you there. If you read this and felt the same connection that I did, please email me back.
Their eyes met.
Their eyes met.
Of a cloudy stool.
What? You didn't say it was cloudy.
I know. That's horrible. That's not right, is it? You can't start flirting with the stool nurse.
Stool nurses have to find love too, you know.
Not when you just handed it over to them.
Ooh.
I'm not sure about that.
Well, you know, there would be very few secrets if you met over your own stool.
Yeah, that's true. Kind of sets the precedent for the rest of the relationship, doesn't it? That's the end of Beckett's Classifieds, because there aren't any more.
End it on a high.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Can I just point out, on the classifieds, it's not us that's selling this stuff. We've just found the adverts on the internet. There are people going, oh, can I have some ketchup packets, please? We're not sending them. Just go online. You'll find them quite easily.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Oh, loads of people collect spoons.
That's astonishing, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody says they collect a spoon from every restaurant they go to. Isn't that...
You'd never run
isn't
out.
Isn't that thieving?
Yes,
though?
Technically that is...
That isn't collecting, that's not robbing.
Also, this is bad. Jane in Bristol's been on. You know that misconnection we just did with the guy smiling on the train and the guy with the Mac?
Yeah.
Probably a student. Jane in Bristol says, I think that student may have been my boyfriend. I'd like to know what he was doing, smiling at girls on the train. Okay. It's fine. It's probably one.
Just being friendly.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't overreact,
to smile at
honestly.
People. God.
He was trying to watch the Formula One and she was pestering him. He was doing nothing wrong.
Exactly. Also, that guy that met the girl at the station and wrote a song about her I was going to.
Mm.
We mocked, but it worked for James Blunt.
You passed me outside Finchley Central Station. You smiled at me on the subway. Just want to say that I'm kicking myself because I didn't stop and say hi, especially when we made eye contact. I'm definitely going to write a song about you, and if I see you again, I'll introduce myself and let you hear the song.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
Work for the Blunt.
You're beautiful.
Did it?
It's true.
Well, it made him lots of money. I don't know whether it worked.
Scott Mills.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Scott. It's 5:15, just to remind you. Well, actually, it's 5:17.
To remind me, oh yeah, the musical news.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Rebecca.
Rebecca, where are you?
I'm driving on the M40.
Driving home?
No, driving to Leicester.
Okay, I would have forgotten if it wasn't for you, so thanks. Love you.
Love you.
Okay, it's now time for some exciting news about Scott Mills, the musical.
I'm Scott, I'm not Rick Astley. This show is all about me. You all know who I am, 'cause you've heard me on the BBC. Got some listeners to write the music and script, so I'm sorry if this show is rubbish.
The Scott Mills Musical. To the front, back, and shake it in the Scott Mills Musical.
So we've got some songs.
Is that the opener?
It's being considered.
I think that'll make a very good opener.
We've got lots of songs that you've been sending in, and we're not going to use all of them, but I think some of them we're going to use. So thanks very much for all those. We've got loads of plot lines that you've been sending in over the last few weeks since we told you we're doing a musical at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. And now we need some people to be in it. This musical is going to be on for 3 nights in August. On the 11th, 12th and 13th, we'll be in Edinburgh. And one role in particular, needs to be filled by somebody good.
Which role would this be?
The role of me.
Right.
Because I'm not going to be in it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be in it.
Yeah.
One that doesn't speak is not going to be in it. Becky's not going to be in it. It's all going to be people playing us in the musical, okay?
Hmm.
Now, we're going to do a search for a Scott type thing, basically. You know, like, how do you solve a problem like Maria? That show on TV they did?
Yeah, so
they did one for, what else did they do? Oliver?
Nancy.
And Nancy. This is going to be, it's going to be like, how do you solve a problem like Nancy? Only Scott. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a little search to find someone to play me.
Right, how are we going to, that's yours.
Oh,
just turn it off, will you?
Sorry, I'm still checking the weather.
What?
Just in case it's changed for people at Glasgow.
Well, it hasn't, has it? So turn it off, because it's doing my head in.
All right.
How are we going to do this, then?
We are... Well, I'll tell you on this show tomorrow. So if you would like to be me, then play me.
And who wouldn't?
Who wouldn't? In the musical, then make sure you are listening to this show tomorrow. We're going to get you to do a little audition. We'll tell you how that you can be in Scott Mills the Musical as actual Scott Mills tomorrow.
Stop this could laughing. This could be really uncomfortable for you, though.
BBC.
Radio 1.
Scott Mills.
So, we just told you that we are going to find somebody to play me in Scott Mills' musical. We're going to do Search for a Scott. Those people are on saying, why aren't you playing yourself? Well, no one plays themselves in musicals, do they? Joseph? That wasn't him, was it?
No, I don't.
Jesus Christ Superstar? That wasn't him, was it?
I'm fairly sure that wasn't him. Evita?
I think we should all be in it, though.
Wasn't him.
Chappers, are you up for being in it at some point?
No.
Why not?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I can't act. Or
just
sing.
A little walk-on. A walk-on.
Nah.
Right. Well, I would like to be in it at some point, but not playing myself.
Okay.
And I know that Becky would like to be in it. So we will be in it somewhere. We're just not going to be us.
Right.
And also, I need to say, there's a few people texting and saying, oh, I'd like to be Chappers. Well, not actually. More, I'd like to be Becky.
I was going
to
say, I haven't seen anybody who wants to play me.
I need to point out, we are just looking for someone to be me. Okay? That's the only person that we're casting for is the part of me. and also, I'm getting CVs and stuff already. Do not send in your CVs and things like that. I will tell you exactly what to do on this show tomorrow if you want to be Scott Mills, third person, in Scott Mills the Musical. David Hasselhoff, hello.
Hoff on the rocks, baby. We're Hoff, but we're doing well, baby. What's happening, man?
I'm good. People were concerned yesterday because it sounded like there was a crash.
We did. We crashed into a little bit of a lock, and when we tried to push off, one of the poles split in half and jammed against the door and really kind of scared us. But luckily, we're blessed. Haley's okay. She just lost her nail and had 4 stitches, and it was kind of horrific and scary for a minute. There was a lot of blood, but we're okay, man. She's at the hospital. She went back. She's out at the house right now, and then she's on the boat with us. Actually sleeping, and we're just traveling down the Thames right now. We just pulled over to have a barbecue, having some fun with my daughter, who wants to say hi.
Scott, my love.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
I wish you were here. It's beautiful out here.
Is it good?
Oh, it's unbelievable. We're just having a barbecue, and our longboat is long as you don't even know. It's just the best time ever.
How's Haley?
Haley's good. You know, I took her to the hospital this morning, and she got a lot of, you know, got stronger medicine because she was in a lot of pain this morning and couldn't sleep last night. But
yeah.
She went down the Thames with us as long as she could, and now she is off. She's sleeping and feeling a lot better, hopefully.
Okay, right, I'll see you soon. Pass me back to your dad, please.
We miss you, man.
Hi, Dad. Just to explain, we are going around the country at the moment, me and the Hoff sometimes, but obviously I've got this stuff to do as well, which is fine. It gets me out. And I'll see you very soon in a couple of days, but where are you right now?
We are down in the middle of the Thames River. I don't know where we are. Somewhere in the middle of the Thames. We just pulled off near Henley, and we're just going off to have a nice barbecue and have some Angus beef. And tomorrow, we're off to Scotland for the Highland Games and to have a little fun, look for the Loch Ness Monster. We're going to find the Hoff Ness Monster.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's good to speak to you. This is always going to be on a show on Living TV later in the year. You're right, Chappers.
Yeah, I'm just listening.
Okay, good.
You know, the best thing I wanted to say is thanks to all the fans. I mean, so many people have walked up to me and said, we heard you on the radio, you know, how is everything? And you know, they were so sweet. And Haley's walking around with a little sling, but she's not going home, man. She's a trooper.
Right, it's good to speak to you, David. Glad everything's okay after yesterday.
All right, God bless.
I got to love you, man. Oh, yeah, so it's all fine.
A sling?
Yeah, she's got a sling.
For a broken nail?
It's not. It's more than a broken nail.
I thought that's what they said.
No, it's fine. Well, no, I think her nail came off. Oh, I don't know.
All right.
Anyway, right, thanks to the Hoff. Slightly less chaotic than yesterday, but only just.
Oh! What's the kidding?
Okay, it's time for our guessing game quiz. You're on your own today, Chops. 81199, let me know how you do.
Oh! What's the kidding?
You ready for your first situation?
Yeah, come on, man.
You like it when Becky's not here, don't you?
Well, it means I can win.
Let's do it.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Right, first one. You know Soldier Boy?
Yeah.
He wants you to kiss him through the phone.
I know he does, yeah.
If he asks you, would you do that?
Say no.
Would you? Yeah. It's quite a weird request.
Say thanks for the offer, but no.
I wonder how many people do say yes to him. Anyway, earlier today, I called 3 Radio 1 listeners and asked them to kiss me through the phone. Out of those 3, how many said yes?
Did you say it was you?
Not at first.
Okay. One.
One said yes to kissing me through the phone. All right, let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Here's me pretending to be Soldier Boy. Tell him.
Hello?
Girl, you know I miss you. I just want to kiss you, but I can't right now, so baby, kiss me through the phone.
I'm sorry, I just can't do that.
Soldier Boy does it.
Yeah, but Soldier Boy and me, we're just not the same. We've just seen Scooby-Doo.
What was that then?
Hello?
Kiss me through the phone.
Mwah.
Thanks, my darling.
Bye. Hello?
Rachel?
Yeah?
Kiss me through the phone.
I don't recognise your voice, I don't know what
it is. It's Soldier Boy.
Oh, okay, hi.
Kiss me through the phone?
I'm not kissing you through the phone.
Why?
Yeah!
That was an air kiss through the phone.
I'm not kissing you in any other way through the phone.
So, just...
Just the one.
Just the one.
I get the point.
The phone, you get the point. Do you like that? Hi, it's Soldier Boy.
Yeah, and they fell for it.
Sound the same.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Next one.
Maybe Soldier Boy could play you in the musical. As you often get confused for each other.
I would love that. Now, have you seen that show, I'm Running Sainsbury's?
Oh, I hadn't until last night. Oh my God. Oh, my God. Oh, the manager in that.
They take someone who works there and make them run the whole thing. Now, last time it was Joseph. Now, he ran, wasn't it the smallest Sainsbury's local in Derby?
I missed the first 15 minutes, so I don't know where they found him from, but he seemed really like a nice bloke. It was the manager bloke at the biggest Sainsbury's ever in the world, who was just like David Brent.
Yeah. So, Joseph... worked in a small bit of one of the stores. They gave him Britain's biggest Sainsbury's to run. My question to you, how many David Brent-style management phrases were on the show last night on I'm Running Sainsbury's?
Oh, there were loads. Oh, there
if you
were
saw
loads.
This, you will get that, this completely.
This bloke was hilarious. I think it must have been at least about 16.
16? Let's find out. No, hang on. Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
Here is the David Brent style manager from last night's I'm Running Sainsbury's.
And you're playing at the top of the Premiership, I suppose, if you was to put it into a football analogy. And that's what we are, you know, we're the Manchester United. Even though I support Liverpool, we are the Manchester United. And what I'm really looking for is a bit of a helicopter view. So he's in the helicopter above the produce department and he's looking down and looking at the opportunities. Just a little phrase for you to write down, yeah?
Yeah.
The standards you set are the standards you're going to get.
Oh, that's good.
This has been a manager walking around taking the helicopter view. And the detail is retail, or retail is detail. I'll give you a little thing, yeah? All right, I'm the driver of a bus. Yes, I'm driving my big double-decker bus, yeah. I'm the driver because I'm the leader, yeah? Now, my bus is either going to be empty or it's going to be full of colleagues. If it's full, it's because they want to work for me. If I turn around, my bus is empty, they don't want to work for me. And you've got to get your bus full. So you think, you know, I said about the standards you get and the standards you set?
She wants to see you giving more direction, grabbing the balls by the horn, if you like.
That means that all the guys that work on checkouts, they don't have to shave because the manager's not shaving. You know, you can drag the horse to water, you can't make it drink it.
I do feel like a big fish in a small pond, yes, I do quite like it. It's better than being a tadpole drowning in the ocean, which I was at Sydenham, so...
Yeah. Oh, my God. There were 10.
Oh, God.
She wants to see you giving more direction, grabbing the balls by the horn, if you like.
That old phrase, grabbing the balls by the horn.
Grabbing the balls by the horn, if you like.
That's dangerous, isn't it?
I would think so. I wouldn't recommend that.
Also, grabbing the balls by the horn, if you like.
I don't know about you, but when I get on a bus, it's not because I want to work for the bus driver. It's because I want him to take me to wherever I'm meant to be going.
And remember...
Detail is retail, or retail is detail.
Retail is detail, that's
right. Yeah, but Scott...
Yes?
The standards you set are the standards you get.
Oh! What's the kidding?
Right, question.
And it's like the whole of Sainsbury's management guidebook was in rhyme and couplet.
Detail is retail, or retail is detail.
Question. What is the best invention since sliced bread?
Oh, dear.
What do you think?
Dear.
It's hard to think of one since sliced bread.
Very difficult, to be honest.
Well, we went onto Stupid Street today.
And this is a difficult one for Stupid Street.
We asked them the same question. Yeah. What is the best invention since sliced bread? What was the most popular answer? Remember, this is Stupid Street.
Okay. I'm going to say a toaster. Knowing how they think.
Let's find out.
Oh, what's the kidding?
We asked the people on Stupid Street, the best invention since sliced bread.
What is the greatest invention since sliced bread?
Oh, mate,
toaster, I don't know, for sliced bread,
isn't it? Probably a microwave.
Microwave? Why microwave?
Well, it can heat up your toast, innit?
What's the best invention since sliced bread?
Chocolate?
Chocolate came out before sliced bread,
I think. Did it? No, it didn't.
Chewing gum, maybe.
Chewing gum, why?
Yeah, it's just good.
What about you? What do you think the greatest invention since sliced bread is?
Toast.
This is the Stupid Street, isn't it?
What do you think the greatest invention since sliced bread is?
Internet.
Why so?
Because you can get everything with internet. Closed everything.
What do I think the greatest invention since sliced bread is? The nail clipper. Instead of having scissors, it makes it a really easy thing to use, and you don't have to faff about with all the scissors and things like that, so that's why I'm...
So of all the things that have happened since sliced bread, nail clippers is the one for you?
Yes, that's the one, yep.
What do you think the greatest invention since sliced bread is?
I don't know. I'm quite down with the hairbrush. Seems to work quite well. Yeah.
I'm going to let you have that because you actually got one of the answers.
You see?
Wow, toaster. They are. You won today, but then you would.
The hairbrush girl should go on a management training course at the supermarket.
She really should. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. You know the David Brent phrases off of I'm Running Sainsbury's last night? Like this one?
Detail is retail, or retail is detail.
I forgot to mention it, but Jono actually did all the hard work on that. He compiled all of those, thanks to him, off of Unofficial Mills.
Very good.
Sorry for not crediting you before, because he actually did that for us. Thanks. Also, on Stupid Street, you can hear this on the podcast tomorrow, if you missed it. We asked, what's the best invention since sliced bread? And we got some great answers.
I'm quite down with the... hairbrush.
There's a big debate on 81199 at the moment about whether the hairbrush was invented before or after sliced bread. And
why, I would have thought it was before.
Yeah, me too. And this guy gave a good answer.
Got to be a microwave.
Microwave? Why microwave?
Well, it can heat up your toast, innit?
Yeah. Some people have actually tried that during Newsbeat.
What, heating up their toast in the microwave?
Yeah, it doesn't work. So don't try that. It's 6:12 on Radio 1. Earlier, we told you about some very exciting Scott Mills the Musical news. We're going to cast somebody to play me. If you would like to be me, then listen to this show tomorrow and we'll tell you exactly how you can do that.
The Scott Mills Daily.
I've got something that you might want to watch if you're near a computer at the moment. Exams are finishing today. I think everyone is doing the last of their exams today. You might have finished them already, but I know the last exams in the UK happening today. So, hi, if that's you, you're probably quite relieved. Today, me, James King off of Films, and Greg James off of the early programme did our practical drama exam. And this is online now at bbc.co.uk/radio1. If you just go to
So why did you do this? Why did you do it?
Just because everyone's doing exams and we thought we wanted to have a go. Right. You know, some of the DJs did written exams last week.
Yeah, you didn't turn up.
I couldn't be there for that because of the Hof. But if you go to the main page, you'll see Florence the Machine, then go along a bit, and then you'll see exams, and it says, watch Greg, Scott and James take their drama practical exam. Now, we did Star Trek, and I think you'll agree, there's some acting in
this. Is that actually on GCSE drama syllabus?
I don't know.
Right.
Now, James was the only one out of... all of us that had actually seen Star Trek ever.
Okay.
So we had to watch a clip beforehand of the one we were going to reenact. This is the original clip from Star Trek, the original scene.
Who are you?
I'm with him.
He's with me.
We are traveling at warp speed. How did you manage to beam aboard this ship?
Hey, you're the genius. You figure it out.
As acting captain of this vessel, I order you to answer the question.
Well, I'm not telling, acting captain. What now? That doesn't frustrate you, does it? My lack of cooperation. That doesn't make you angry.
Are you a member of Starfleet?
Yes. Can I get a towel? Please?
Under penalty of court-martial, I order you to explain to me how you were able to beam aboard this ship while moving at warp.
Well, don't answer him.
You will answer me.
Oh, that's the original one.
Okay, now when it comes to you doing it, which we're about to hear in a minute,
yeah,
you should say who has what part here.
Okay, Greg...
James King is Spock, isn't
James
he?
King
I know
is
that, because I can tell because of the ears.
Yeah, James King, Spock. I'm Scotty. See what I did there?
Right.
Yep, and Greg is Captain Kirk.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
And here is us on our GCSE drama practical doing that same scene from Star Trek.
Who are you?
I'm with him.
He's with me.
We are traveling at warp speed. How did you manage to beam aboard this ship?
You're the genius. You figure it out.
As acting captain of this vessel, I order you to answer the question.
Well, I'm not telling, acting captain. Now, that doesn't frustrate you, my lack of cooperation. Does that make you angry?
Are you a member of Starfleet?
Yes. Can I get a towel, please?
Under penalty of court-martial, I order you to explain to me how you were able to beam aboard this ship whilst moving at warp.
Well...
Don't answer him.
You will answer me.
And that was us doing
what
that.
What are you doing
in
that?
What do you
that?
Mean?
Well...
I'm being Scottish.
But...
I took my...
Like, Simon Pegg isn't Scottish in that, is he? Also, Simon Pegg doesn't have on a bright ginger wig.
I know,
why
but
do you have on a bright ginger wig when you're acting this part?
They told me to be Scottish, and I can't do a Scottish accent, so I just took... I thought, what would Edith do? So I just did her voice.
Right, but why the ginger wig?
I don't know.
And why are you the only one wearing a wig? Why are James King and Greg not wearing wigs?
They aren't
wigs?
Wearing wigs.
That's their real hair.
Isn't their real hair?
They aren't wearing wigs.
They are. Go online and have a look at the video and see our acting amazingness.
James King does have stick-on ears, though, doesn't he?
He does,
they aren't
yes.
his real ears.
It's on the homepage now. Just look up exams at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Is your wig to cover your ears? Because you might have been mistaken for Spock.
This is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
Still a big debate raging on 81199 about the best invention since sliced bread. It was the question we asked on Stupid Street earlier.
I'm quite down with the... hairbrush.
Now, just in case you want to know, we've looked this up, and the hairbrush, 1854.
Right.
Sliced bread, 1912. So actually, the hairbrush was
way before.
Was way before. And also, there was something about whether it was sliced bread or chocolate.
Yeah.
That came first. Chocolate, about 1100 BC.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast.
Okay, I got a new laptop recently, chappers.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy, you know, it does the job.
Because
My old one is old now.
Okay.
And my new one does everything that I can do on a computer, and that is read and send emails and go on the internet.
Right.
That's it. That's
what more do you need?
Yeah, I don't really do anything else. But for a couple of weeks now, my mum's been ringing me a lot, saying, Scott, don't forget, your cousin wants your old one. So I still got my old laptop, which I don't mind at all, because I think she needs it for her work or something. But someone has told me that you can't delete everything on them. Is that true?
I don't.
Even if you do delete, it's not. It's still in there. It doesn't really go.
It really?
Apparently so. I don't know.
I don't know, to be honest.
My cousin is 17, and she wants it for work that she's doing at the moment, college work. And I'm just worried that, like, she'll click on, you know, like a picture, and a picture of my thumbs will come up or something. A
picture of your thumbs?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
So
I can see what the problem is.
Do you see what I mean? I'm
yeah.
more than happy to give it to my cousin because she's lovely and she does she
really?
Does need it. She does need it for her work, and that's cool. But I just want to know.
Basically, you want somebody to tell you how you can delete everything that you've been looking at on that computer before you give it to your cousin.
I want to know, does it all go, or what happens to it?
BBC Radio 1.
Would your cousin then tell your mum what she's found on your computer?
First thing that I thought of.
Dear. Would it not be safer then to basically just break up this old computer and just give your cousin some money to buy a new one?
Fair play, but
wouldn't
then,
it be safer for you?
Even if it's
and
broken
less
up,
embarrassing.
Even if it's broken up, where do they go?
Well, you can just break it up into lots of little pieces.
Where do laptops go when they're dead?
Because you don't want pictures of your thumbs surfacing amongst the rest of your family, do you?
And there
really?
Might be some personal stuff on there that I don't want my cousin to see.
What, more personal than pictures of your thumbs?
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. Like,
all right,
what?
Everyone's on now saying it's true. Deleting doesn't get rid of things completely. I'm going to need to rethink this. Okay, it's
you
half six.
You haven't given it to her already.
Not yet, no. But like every kind of other every other day.
Every other day.
My mum's on going. All right. What about your laptop? Okay, good. Just wanted to put that out there and see what you thought.
BBC Radio 1 podcast.
And also, don't forget on tomorrow's show, details on how you can be me on Scott Mills the musical. We're casting for just one cast member, and that is the part of actual me. Mm-hmm. How do you solve a problem like Scott? Any Nancy will do. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. But we're going to tell you how you can be me tomorrow on this show. Please don't send in your CVs or anything yet, but we'll tell you how to do it on tomorrow's show if you want to be in the musical in Edinburgh on the 11th, 12th and 13th of August. I'm going to play you one of the songs. Thank you for all these, by the way, and all the plot ideas that you have been sending in. I don't think you've heard this one, Chops, because you were off last week.
Yeah.
This is about you.
Okay.
And it's from Lewis.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Lewis. And this is the one with, as we requested, the John Barnes-style rap in it. Remember? It does sound a bit like the Pet Shop Boys even more, this one.
Right, I don't remember this.
Oh. You haven't heard it, I don't think. I think you'll like this.
I've been a psychic far too long, but now I've got my very own song. I don't have to share the spotlight with Scott anymore. I'm going solo, I don't need Dave. I'd like to take this chance to say not even guide dogs are allowed in the auditorium today. You wanted a showstopper, well, here it is. It's Chappers or Mark or sometimes Chopper.
None of the Chopper actually is real name.
I do the sport, but there's so much more to me. You're listening to Chappers on the BBC. The rhymes, MC Scott Mills.
You've got to make them laugh, you've got to make them cry, you've got to wow the crowd like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. If you don't, you might find yourself unemployed. You could lose your sports presenting job to Little Lloyd. Cricket and football and all that other stuff never really interested me that much. But when Chappers is on, it makes it all right, unless he starts banging on about Man United.
You wanted a showstopper.
What do you think?
Yeah. It's
your own song, eh?
I'm flattered.
Thanks, Lewis. Find out how you can be me in the musical tomorrow.
Scott Mills.
BBC.
Radio 1. Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
So my 17-year-old cousin wants my old laptop, and I'm just a bit concerned that you can't. Like, that when you delete things, they don't go completely. Thanks for all your.
Like what things?
Huh?
Like what things?
Just, I don't know. No, personal things.
Personal things.
Yeah.
Right.
We've had everything coming in. Everyone's saying something different. From completely empty the recycle bin, that should do it. To
I think it's a little bit more than that.
I think it is. Even I could do that. To get it formatted, to drill a hole through the hard drive. Thanks for all of those. I just think I'm just going to fudge it and not actually give it to her. I don't think that's pretty best.
How are you going to fudge not giving it to
her? I'm just going to, don't know, not answer my mum's calls for a while. I don't know. But I don't know what you mean. Thanks for all the computer advice anyway. I don't know. Really don't know what you mean. Right, what do you prefer?
I'd just do the empty. Why don't you just empty the recycle bin and give it to her? I'm sure that'll
be fine.
That'll be fine,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast.
podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.